Send a movie idea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are simple. We can discuss as many film ideas as we like, submitted by you, the listener, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where in 70 years' time, the nation will lose its collective mind and throw mandatory street parties for the movie idea without ever questioning its legacy or purpose or reason for being. It will just be accepted. It's the greatest movie idea ever, and we must party for it. I'm Joel, a man who puts the yuck in Buckingham Palace, and across from me is the very French John Harris, fresh from a morning polishing and varnishing his guillotine. Hello, John.
Hello, mate. Normally your intros are sort of slightly topical, but that one was so subtle I have no idea what you were referring to there. I couldn't work it out.
I just want to prove to the listener that I can do subtlety. There's depth to me. There's a hidden depth. Are you having a nice big jubilee?
Enormous. It got to Friday evening, and I thought the weekend hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, I know. This is going to be an incredibly unpopular thing to say, but I think two bank holidays might be too many.
I sort of am with you. Like,
because it's not like if it was a 3 day working week and a 4 day weekend, I would adjust to that. But two bank holidays, there is a pressure on maximizing those days that I can't handle. And now we're at Saturday afternoon and I'm a wreck, John. And there's still so much more to go.
It's just outrageous. Well, and you've got my son's birthday tomorrow. So, you know, you've really got to pull some energy.
That's the big
out.
One. Well, I'm going to bed as soon as we finish this. And I'm going to do a 16-hour sleep.
Yeah, for context, listener, it's 3 p.m.
It's 3 p.m. I'm going to bed. I'm going to wake up at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Just the most well-rested guy. And I'm going to iron my shirt and I'm going to come and eat all of the food.
And you can meet my mum. That's nice.
Oh, I can't wait to meet your mum. Maybe that's what I'm most excited about. how excited is she about meeting me?
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't told her. It'll be a surprise. That's really nice, John. That'll be nice.
Just for context of the listener, I'm not going to bother to edit this out. I think I do a snorting laugh noise as soon as Joel says, welcome. How do you even start this podcast? Hello?
Yeah, I normally say hello, yeah. Yeah. It's a classic. Opener.
Because you basically were silent for about 8 seconds before you started speaking, but I'm not going to keep that silence in. So I'm just going to laugh as you start speaking at the beginning of this episode.
But what was interesting about that 8 seconds of silence is that you didn't even so much as twitch a muscle. You were like freeze framing the thing. It was like you were voice activated. You're voice activated by me. I didn't like it. You were just stone still until I spoke, at which point you moved.
I'm a consummate professional, I believe.
Or it's like some sort of Pavlov's dog thing where you won't act or react or respond until I start speaking.
Agreed.
Which is a power I cannot handle. I do not need to be responsible for. I have to phone you every morning at 7 a.m. to get you out of bed. You're just lying there, eyes open, laying dead still.
There was an app where you could be other people's alarms. You'd like, you know, you'd be on this app and you'd like,
oh, really?
It'd be like 3 in the afternoon and it'd be like, someone in India needs waking up, and you'd call them up and be like, hey man, yeah, I'm from London.
That's really
good.
Have a
little chat to start the day. Yeah.
I was just going to suggest walkie-talkies.
I feel like it was one of those things that was a wonderful idea and probably then was co-opted by some idiots and became poisonous because that's the internet.
Yeah, that does sound like every bit of the internet. Anyway, this is a nice bit of the internet, a loving bit of the internet.
Yeah.
Where we just have a nice time. John, have you got a movie idea for me?
Yeah, what about
who's
this
it
one?
From?
This one's from Jez. Point Breakfast. Or is it Point Breakfast? It's one of those
Point
ones that works.
Fast.
Anyway, Keanu goes undercover in a Weatherspoons to find out who's been giving away extra black pudding. I like this. He's given us a sort of morsel of plot, which I like, so we can sort, you know, I'm not...
And it's Swayze then, right?
Swayze.
Swayze's giving away the extras.
Here we go. Considering this is on this week's Films to be Buried With, Mark Kermode, who I believe is an authority on film, said that this is the best action film ever made. I've never seen Point Break. I feel like I need to
never seen Point Break either.
Maybe that's our homework for next week.
We should watch Point Break. So here's what I know about Point Break. He points his gun up in the air and shouts, because that's what they talk about in Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
And it's got Patrick Swayze in it. Is that right?
I'm not sure about Patrick Swayze. I know that there's surfing. It's a surf action film, isn't it?
Well, but there's two
not
people
like Surf's
in it.
Up.
There's two people in it, and one of them's Keanu Reeves, and the other one
is Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze. Yes.
Are they the same age? I would not have put them in the same age group.
No, isn't Swayze an older man in the film?
Oh, fine. Oh, and I mean, obviously, Swayze's no longer with us, but yeah. Johnny Utah, that is a character name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. So fair funny. Play. So Swayze's the Weatherspoon's chef, and let's say that he's using the black pudding to smuggle drugs out of the Weatherspoons.
Oh, those little white fat bits, cocaine.
Yeah. So a dealer comes in, orders breakfast, and when the dealer orders two extra black pudding, that's code for stuff it full of drugs, please, Patrick. And Keanu's noticed that these dealers keep going to Weatherspoons. Gets a job. Go on.
Well, I just feel like we missed a trick not saying hash browns, right?
Oh, well done, John.
Sorry, just... Anyway, continue. He gets
You're
a job
so clever.
There. Undercover.
Crack pudding.
Yes!
Smack pudding.
Anyway, so he gets a job there to investigate.
Sorry.
No,
ecstasy.
You know what? No one sent us a chocolate... what was it? Chocolate movie pun? Do you not remember we said about the top 10?
Oh, yeah.
This is the weird thing, listener. You know, some podcasts are like, oh, you should probably start at a certain point because they have like lingo or like in-jokes and stuff. This show fucking wipes the slate clean every week. Like the fact that I've referred to something that happened, Joel looked at me like I was saying something that happened 40 years ago because I referred to something like two episodes
I just
ago.
Instantly glazed over. I've got no idea what you're talking about.
We had a bit of fun punning on chocolate films, and then we said, don't do that, listener. And then we said, yes, we'd like that. And the listeners listened to... They took our first answer.
I forget the way that the intro is formatted. The second we stop recording, and then half an hour before we record every week, I open up a note, and I go, oh, yeah, I have to think of this, this, and this. So the idea that I would remember a throwaway line when I can't even remember an intro that I've said 200 times.
Very true.
Anyway, would love it, guys, if you could send in your fried breakfast movie puns.
So, yeah, absolutely. Well, we want fried breakfast trucks. That's specifically what we want.
We want fried breakfast trucks. Yeah, I think we're going to struggle to top hash brown, smack pudding, and ecstasy, fried ecstasy.
But I'm sure it's a surfing movie. So is the big conclusion them surfing on some baked beans? That'd be good. Well,
there's like a huge spillage in the Weatherspoon's kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, that's in Keanu picks up like a tray.
Swayze's trying to escape, so he tips over an enormous vat of baked beans as an obstacle for Keanu, who then just picks up a tray and surfs straight on it. No worries. Obviously, this is set in England. What's the English equivalent of the name Johnny Utah?
Timmy Bolton.
Timmy Bolton, there you go. Timmy Bolton, the bean surfer.
Very nice. Would you like another one from me?
Yes.
What about this one from Jack? A Pug's Life. Simple, sweet.
That's cute. You kind of feel like that. Surprising that hasn't been done.
It feels there's like Secret Life of Pets, so it feels there's that. So in my head, it's definitely like DreamWorks. I'm immediately seeing the DreamWorks logo when I see a Pug's Life.
Oh no,
I'm
me
not
it's
seeing Pixar.
Live action gritty. It's one of those live action horrible live action films where an actor voices a real animal.
I don't want to
hate those so much.
I don't want to shame any pug owners, but you could definitely do something gritty around pugs because they're sort of. Not, they've sort of been bred to the point where they can't really breathe.
They can't breathe. They've got little flat faces.
So there's definitely a
or
harrowing
even sort
story.
Of concave.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who would you get to voice a little dog that can't breathe? Who's got quite a stuffy nose?
The thing is, my first thought, and it's so base, was Danny DeVito. That feels too obvious. And then I thought Seth Rogen, but then I thought, because Seth Rogen's got that kind of laugh, like Seth Rogen laughs like a man who can't breathe. He talks normally, but when he laughs, it's like he can't breathe.
I'm into Seth Rogen. Do you remember when A Bug's Life came out? It was the same time as the film Ants.
Weird.
How did that happen? Isn't there like, wasn't there some sort of espionage? Isn't there actually like a story there about how one of the studios got wind of it or something?
Why would you do that?
And,
what, DreamWorks found
and
out
made a rival movie.
Pixar, and they thought, let's do Bugs as well. That seems mad. I would say they're both quite good. I think
at the time I preferred Ants.
Well, I feel like that's
I don't think that's been borne out. You know, A Bug's Life definitely isn't one of the Pixar classics, is it? Do people watch it now?
Oh my gosh, Ants is flipping. What's his face?
Oh yeah, Woody Allen.
And A Bug's Life, Hopper's Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey. Cancel City.
Ugh, yeah.
Crikey.
God, was it like a third bug movie at the time with someone else truly deplorable in it? Yeah, I was an Ants guy. I was Team Ants.
I feel like that's the indie cool answer to have said. I think the obvious thing would have been to be a Bug's Life fan. Bug's Life, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that's the first time Pixar did the sort of fake outtakes at the end. And it blew the roof.
Yeah,
because it definitely didn't do
it
on Toy Story 1. But did Toy Story 2 come out before Bug's Life? Maybe.
I think it maybe did.
But I remember when we left the cinema, my parents, that's all they were talking about, was like, that was amazing, that bit. That bit where they pretended to be doing bloopers.
The first time I saw that, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was so brilliant. And I still like to see it now, John.
They sort of had a run of it, didn't they? Pixar definitely did it for a few films, and then they thought, the joke's running a bit old now.
But their films are too heavy now.
Well,
you can't do it at the end of, Coco, or what else have they made? What are the sad
ones? Yeah, imagine at the end of Coco, you definitely wouldn't want that.
Or Up.
Imagine being the design, the designer who spent 4 months working on frames that just show up after the credits. I mean, that's how you got to start somewhere, but it must be slightly demoralizing, right?
Yeah, I always think that about the Marvel post-credits scenes as well. Like just the money and the teams that go into those, and when it's like a really flat one that fans react badly to, like that's probably like a whole other department, right? A whole other team making those, shot at a different time.
I have no idea, but I've now started getting to the point where, and this is, I feel like this, me a few years ago would have judged me now, but I will watch the mid-credits, that's fine. Mid-credits, you're waiting like a minute, right? But for the post-credits, you're waiting like 12, 13 minutes sometimes. So I'll just Google.
You don't wait.
I just Google what's the post-credit and then see what it is.
While you're sat there?
And decide whether it's worth staying for.
Wow.
And that served me well. That served me well in Doctor Strange, because I read what that was and thought, I do not need to stay here for 12
minutes. I can't even remember. Yeah, wow. As evidenced by the fact that I stayed for that and I can't remember what it was.
It's not a spoiler. It's a joke. It's a real throwaway joke. There you go. I won't say what happens, but I can say that without feeling like I've spoiled the film. It's not.
I remember now.
They did that
in one of the Spider-Man films as well, didn't they? Captain America was just there.
That is funny. The first one, it's the Captain America joke where he talks about patience. That is quite funny, though. And the gag in this one is funny, but I just thought, yep, got it. That's a good joke. Just left the cinema to go have a Nando's.
Oh, that's nice. And you were probably eating chicken 8 minutes quicker than you would have been.
Exactly. 8 minutes later, the Nando's absolutely filled up, but I was in front of the queue.
You go for a food after cinema. Do you eat anything in the cinema during the film?
Oh.
Because I'll always go food first, and then I'm having my dessert at the cinema.
No. Oh, God, it really depends.
Yeah, I do, John.
No. Shut up.
No, you're not.
That's not what you do. No, it really depends. Obviously, it depends the time of the cinema. Yeah, I would say back in the day, now that I have a child, going to the cinema is such like an exciting, rare thing. I really go for it. Get the drinks, get the popcorn, do everything. Back in the day when I didn't have a kid and I was going a lot more frequently, I was quite like zen with it. I was like, view, $4.99 a ticket, get in, get out, don't buy anything, don't eat anything.
Really?
Yeah.
But even if it's like a two plus hours.
Yeah, that didn't bother
me. I can't entertain the idea of not eating for 2 hours.
Well, also, I've got the world's weakest bladder, so if it's long, those drinks at cinemas, they start at like a litre. So
yeah.
The only thing that's weaker than my bladder is my ability not
moral
to
compass.
Drink quickly. Yeah, my moral, like, well, no, not my moral, just, I love drinking and I have a terrible bladder. So you put a delicious beverage in front of me, it'll be gone in 20 seconds. And then an hour later, I'll be wishing that I hadn't drunk it.
If I get a big popcorn, I really, really, really try and not touch it until the film starts. But I also get to the cinema so early that then it's just 30 minutes of me staring at some popcorn.
Do you keep noticing
the trailers.
Yeah, yeah, frequently
I managed to do it.
Done before
what's quite good is that these days Vue put a little hat on the popcorn.
What?
And that really helps because that's kind of like that's a physical barrier between me and the corn.
Is that a sanitary thing?
No, I wrote to Vue and said, you've got to start putting a hat on this popcorn because I'm eating it before.
Is it like a woolen hat?
John Boyega's even appeared in that ad. Pardon?
Is it a woolen hat?
It's a little woolen mitten. Yeah, it's a little woolen. Yeah, so I take a different hat to every film. I'll put a little sombrero on there, a trilby. It depends on my mood, depends on the season. But I take a little hat and I give it to them and say, I don't want the popcorn back until you've put a hat on it. And they're generally fine with it. No, they just put a flat cardboard square. Now, here's twofold, pro and con. Number one, pro, as previously discussed, it provides a barrier between my eyes and the popcorn. And I'm very simple. So if you just take it out of eyesight, you know, like a predatory animal, if you stop moving.
Yeah.
I can't see you. I'm like, I can't see the food. Maybe I'll forget it's there. So you put a little cardboard hat on the popcorn. My brain shuts off until the BBFC card appears. And I think, oh, this is when I'm allowed to start eating popcorn in the own rules, in my mad own mind. Hit now. Con. That means the corn has to be flush to the box or slightly below. And back in the day, you would get a heaped scoop. You know, you would be trying to balance the popcorn because it goes over the brim.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, John, is I need a dome hat.
Well, the good thing about the flat hat is I assume, like, if you're going all out and you want to get, like, a hot dog as well or something, you can
rest it on there.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I know that Scroobius Pip has a real sort of, ritual when he goes to cinema, and he explains, because he gets ice cream, a hot dog and a drink. And so you don't put the straw in your drink and you put the ice cream on top of the drink and you hold the hot dog, I think, and then you take that all into cinema. And also, the order which he gets the Ben and Jerry's, he wants, I can't remember what it is, but he wants it in a certain order. So every time he does this, he will pretend like he's deciding as they're scooping, because if he says the full order, they might put the ice cream in the wrong order.
I would love to know why that is. Let us know, please, Pip. I know you're a listener of the show.
Good point.
Is that because you want to experience them top, middle, bottom of the three flavours? Because surely there's no mixing going on. If you got three flavours in a tub, John, would you hope you could get sort of a little bit of each flavour on a spoon?
Well, I think if you got like a vanilla...
Or does he eat it the way that someone would eat a Rolo yogurt? This is how I eat a Rolo yogurt. I just skim that chocolate off the top. And I'm trying to get it as perfect to the line so that none of the Rolo stuff underneath is ever on the spoon until the chocolate's gone.
I mean, if we're going
like
down
an archaeologist
this...
dusting off a very fine layer, there's like an incredibly fragile discovery underneath, a mosaic that's not been seen by the human eye for 2,000 years, and it's covered by this thin layer of Rolo chocolate.
I've got a teaspoon. I have 2 points to make for that. Firstly, Rolo yogurt is substantially tastier than Rolos. Secondly, secondly. I think, you know, we're starting to get into eating habits maybe too generally, but I would like to know, at what point do you introduce your corner into a Müller corner? Are you doing it at the start? Are you waiting so it's a better ratio of chocolate balls
or fruit?
I do
it at the start.
You're
I just go full
in.
Tip, straight in. Yeah.
Fair. Sometimes I'll leave it. I might eat half the yogurt, then put it in. So it's that second half is really packing a punch.
I've seen people, I won't name them, take a spoon, get the yogurt and then dip it in the thing.
Oh no, I don't like that at
whether
all.
whether it's a little raspberry coulis or a chocolate ball, so the chocolate ball will obviously stick to the yogurt. That's just wrong, right? And how can you possibly know the ratios? It's so hard because you're just gonna
you're gonna be left with a lot. I'm playing the long game here, where at the end you're getting the corner, right? Whereas that game, I think you're playing the short game. You're getting lots of chocolate balls, lots of coulis, but then I think you're going to end up just eating plain vanilla yogurt, right?
Yeah. Well, I generally will. Let's say I tip the banana flakes on top. I'm then just taking a big spoonful that's just yogurt and banana flakes, and then it's just yogurt. I'm an idiot. I don't mix it.
Oh, mate.
John, do you eat every... I'm well aware that we've been doing 20 minutes and we've only done one film idea. Do you eat every dessert in your house with a teaspoon?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Even if someone gave me like a fucking massive bowl of trifle, I'd eat it with a teaspoon just to really ration it out and enjoy it for longer.
Yeah, and I think that, but I think that says a lot about our sort of eating habits, is the fact that we have to make the utensils ration for us. Whereas other
people can
just have half.
Oh, I only use cutlery from a doll's house.
100%.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, what about this idea from Josh? It was kind of linked to something I said, I don't know, maybe 6 minutes ago. Archaeologists. Do you remember the archaeology thing, John, about the roller yogurt?
I remember
the past. I'm not happy about what I'm going to say here from this idea from Josh. Like, I'm not a religious man, but even sort of contemplating this makes me uneasy. And also, we should say, Josh has written in like an idea, no title, no, you know, quite most of the ideas we get sent in are like film puns. But this just sort of feels like, I don't know, maybe we found Josh's diary or something. Archaeologists find Jesus bedsheets. I mean, there's already quite a lot of questions there. I don't think... I'm going to guess bedsheets weren't a thing until maybe the 1700s. You know how like the duvet wasn't invented until the 1950s?
That... Well, that's because blankets first. Anyway, great point. Continue.
So the fact about... The football fact is that Wales haven't been to a World Cup since 1958, which is longer than duvets have existed.
Wow.
That's how you measure time, right? Pre and post duvet. So they find Jesus' bed sheets. Wet patch. There's a wet patch on the bed sheets, which is confirmed as semen. I don't. That's the bit I'm really unhappy to be saying.
Is that what Josh has written? Which is confirmed as semen.
Confirmed as semen. I mean, that patch is not still wet. They found Jesus' travel lodge bed. They've put a UV light on it, and they've gone, that is the spunk of Christ. They then use the DNA to reanimate him.
Okay.
I don't know who they are. Well, maybe the archaeologist. But it turns out, John, it wasn't Jesus. And Josh says, I've just got a lot of questions about whoever this Josh guy is. I don't trust it. It's not the real Jesus. It's an outback Australian called Jesus who then travels to New York and hijinks ensue. Now, what do you mean? Like, they didn't. This sort of suggests they found like a door that said, you know, Jesus' bedroom, keep out. They were like, well, this is probably the bedroom of the Son of Christ. Let's go and check the bed sheets. It's actually an Australian guy called Jesus, who I assume was backpacking around Bethlehem many years later, and they reanimate him instead. Thoughts? Well, obviously, I'm quite uncomfortable with a lot of what's happening there.
There is something I quite like. I like the idea of like a really dumb archaeologist. That could be fun.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, so dumb that they don't realise that other people can be called Jesus.
Right, okay. So he thinks there's only been one Jesus.
Yeah.
And therefore his discovery, regardless of the fact that it's like bedsheets from the 80s.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that's quite fun.
And, you know, it feels very Crocodile Dundee, right? He went, at some point he's been to New York and hijinks have ensued, right?
Yeah. That's the whole thing.
So, thanks, Josh. Also, just for the record,
I think it'd be funnier to see Jesus in New York.
True. I think the quality of their jokes has diminished in time, but I do remember a very good Family Guy joke back in the day of like them resurrecting Christ, and he's incredibly short because that's how short, that's how tall people would have been at the time, and no one takes him seriously because he's like 4'8". Just a bit
that's
of fun.
Good.
We've had an idea from Jez, Jack, and Josh for the it's John and Joel. But for the record, you can be not a man with a name who begins with J. We have. I feel like people will listen and be like,
or you can pretend to be one if you think it gives you a better chance of featuring on the show. You know, if your name's Carly, just pretend your name's James.
I promise you, we haven't made these up. I just feel like it seems the listener will be thinking these guys don't have any imagination.
Actually, I think it proves that we haven't made them up because we wouldn't do that. You know, in the way that with the when they made the shuffle function on the iPod, they had to make it less random in order to appear more random.
Because
if it was like truly random, songs would appear in order, the same artist would appear all the time. So they back engineered it. So what we're doing is proving that these are real suggestions, because you and I would come up with better names, you know, less thematic names.
Anyway,
here's one from
Jake.
Jonathan.
No, genuinely, here's one from Jake. Spider-Man into the Spider-Hearse.
Oh, no.
No,
he dies.
Or he
runs a funeral service.
Well, I wasn't thinking that. I like that a lot. Miles Morales' funeral service is quite fun. I was thinking more, he goes into the afterlife. He's like, so he doesn't die.
What's beyond the multiverse?
Exactly.
That's great. Marvel are probably thinking, where do we go now that we've introduced the multiverse? How do we top that? Afterlife.
Yeah. So somehow he travels into the afterlife to bring back someone, probably Gwen, let's be fair. Although
could
she's
be Gwen,
not dead.
Or, you know, or any variation of Uncle Ben or Aunt May.
That's the twist at the end, is that you just physically can't bring Uncle Ben back from the afterlife. You can bring anyone back to life, but not Uncle Ben. He stays.
Not Uncle Ben.
Satan or whatever, or death or whatever figure it is.
He is Satan.
Really likes Uncle Ben.
No, he is Satan.
He is Satan.
He's actually the most evil man that's ever existed.
With great power comes great responsibility. Also, I'm Satan.
I'm the devil.
Good.
Okay, I'm into the Spider-Hearse. John, we've done nearly half an hour. Should we do our own ideas?
Yes, please.
Hey, how about this one from me, Joel, another name that begins with J. Little Miss Sunshine. It's a children's beauty pageant, but it happens in space, like the film Sunshine.
Oh, and they're going to the... What's the crazy idea about Sunshine? They're going to... The sun
They go to the sun
to
and
blow it up.
Turns out that's a bad idea.
But they go to blow it up to make it reignite it, right? I think that's the concept.
Yeah. The sun's dying. They're going to turn it back on. So in this one, we've colonized the sun, and there's a beauty pageant happening in... No, there's a beauty pageant happening on the International Space Station. I don't know. I don't know how to make it... How to combine... Which is bad, because it's my idea. You can tell. I thought of the name and stopped there. Maybe we've colonized Mars, and it's Mars' first beauty pageant. You know, like Miss Universe. There we go. Bang. Miss Universe actually becomes a competition universe-wide, entered by all different alien races from across the galaxy. One of them loses and is furious, so sets about destroying our sun.
I like it. That's a joke I've seen many times on Twitter, is, you know, it seems a little bit weird that Miss Universe is always won by someone from planet Earth. So,
well, there you go.
Or,
not this time.
Soundtrack by the Proclaimers, Little Miss Sunshine on Leaf.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah.
I like it. I think there's something interesting in the... I think there are films that do this, but there aren't enough where they just go, like, it's a film that like something mad is happening in the background. So like a post-apocalyptic world, but it's not about the apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's about this family drama. They just happen to be.
You know.
I like that. This one's from me. Top Gun Maverick role. Maverick role. Tom Cruise plays a harmless troll from the early noughties.
Nice. Okay. He's like a computer hacker guy.
I don't think people know about
Rick
Rolls anymore. How does he? Ooh.
No, I think Rick Rolls are still alive and well.
I hope so. How does he do stunts? It's on wheels. His desk is on wheels. He's going off canyons on his desk whilst hacking.
He's posting on Tumblr, but he's doing it while bungee jumping.
Yeah, I think so. Have you seen Top Gun Maverick?
No, everyone loves it.
Yeah. I'm scared to see
it.
Have
you seen it?
No, I'm scared to see it. People, it's like people going, oh, I don't really care about Top Gun. And then they come out like, oh, my face is melted. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can handle that right now.
You can't handle your face being melted. I want to go and see it. I might go and see it. Maybe I'll go and see it tonight.
Ooh, treat yourself. Remember, rest up, though. Rest up. You've got a big day tomorrow.
I've got a big day tomorrow, so I'll have... what I'm going to do, John, is I'm going to have a nap, and I'm going to go and buy a big popcorn with a hat on it. I'm going to watch Top Gun Maverick. Hey, that was good. There's some music coming. I think... Oh, my God. Whoa. I think that's the music there. Well done, John.
Thank you, mate. That was fun. I liked that. I think we had a nice
time. Did you?
Yeah, I liked it. Sometimes I don't. No, I always like it.
I always like it. I felt quite low energy. I think I'm sat in a window that's really hot and I'm a bit sleepy. But you really carry proceedings. I thought you were brilliant.
Thank you, mate. I don't think that's true. Have you seen anything good? Have you listened to anything good? Is anything good, you know, in terms of media in your life?
No, I'm actually feeling quite an intense pressure to watch things because new Stranger Things, everyone's going crazy about that. The Boys,
series 3. It's a big time to be a nerd. It's a really big time to be a nerd right now. There's a lot going on.
It's a massive time to be a nerd. So I'm going to have to dive into some of those this weekend. It's going to have to be Stranger Things, The Boys, alternating episodes, dual screening them. I'm just so scared of seeing a spoiler on Twitter, which, and I should say, I think we said spoilers on the podcast and we upset friend of the show, Beck Hill.
I think she just asked us to put timestamps in. But one of the issues...
Well, Which made me sad for 3 days.
Yeah, I
Beck
mean...
Beck tweeted us and said, guys, you spoiled a thing, which is totally fair and legitimate criticism. And it made me feel sad for 3 days.
I don't even know what we spoiled.
No, neither do I. I didn't want to ask because then there's another spoiler on the internet.
That's a good point. We apologise profusely.
We replaced last week's episode with white noise.
I think going forward, like we did with Multiverse...
No one's noticed.
Like we did with Multiverse of Madness, I think we'll going forward we'll try and save spoilers for post music rambling so that people can sort of choose.
Or we'll just make up fake ones.
Oh yeah, so we put in real ones and fake ones so that when they go to the cinema they're like, "What? This isn't happening." Oh, I like that a lot. Maybe we'll do that.
The popcorn doesn't come with a hat.
The Boys. I've done an episode and a half and.
Apparently something crazy happens in the first episode.
I could not believe it. The Boys has done some pretty mad stuff, but yeah.
Yeah.
The second scene in the first episode is like crikey. Real.
Okay.
I've got a soon to be 1 year old child. And sometimes like, I don't know, if he's in the room, I'm happy to sort of watch stuff. I'm not particularly worried that he's going to start turning around.
You shield his eyes.
But with this, I was like, I'm not sure I can even, in good conscience, be in the same room as my child and what's happening on this screen. So, honestly, I had to now have to watch that privately, which almost makes it feel worse. It makes it extra feel extra seedy. But that's my life now, I guess.
I cannot wait to see what happens.
Oh, you message me when you're at that point. When you get to that point,
I will. I'll just send you a picture of my face.
Honestly,
cool.
Yeah, enjoy.
Hey, good stuff, everyone. Thanks for coming along for the ride.
If you're still listening at this point, please send us an idea. We are running concerningly low on film ideas right now. And we will just stop making this show.
You might have noticed we did 20 minutes chat on Cinema Snacks today. You know, that isn't just because it was great chat.
Joe's clamouring for anything.
Though. That is because the well has run dry. So do send us some film ideas, please.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.